Crowhill here from Beer and Conversation with Pigweed and Crowhill. Today we review a cheap 7-Eleven lager and talk about the Confederate flag. Hello and welcome to Beer and Conversation with Pigweed and Crowhill. Good evening, Pigweed.
Good evening, Crowhill.
So, what's on your mind today?
Well, I understand that Mississippi is changing its flag. It's the last state to still have remnants of the Confederate flag on its state flag.
Right.
But, there's an interesting new twist.
Okay.
You know who's not happy about it? The Satanic Temple of Mississippi.
Okay, what's their beef?
they want to take off the Confederate portion of their cool-looking flag.
Right.
And put In God We Trust on the flag.
The Satanic Temple wants to put In God We Trust?
No, that's their protest. Are the people who are... So the headline is, Satanic Temple Opposes Flag Change. And I'm like, what? How does that work?
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, I get it. It's the replacement.
So the Satanic Temple doesn't want them to replace the Confederate battle flag with In God We Trust.
Yes, I'm sure they're fine with getting rid of the Confederate part.
Right.
This the replacement of In God We Trust.
I see. Okay, well, that's weird. In order to get into that, I've got to drink something in. So this is a beer you probably never would have thought to drink, because it's the kind of thing that you see the drunks go into 7-Eleven and buy, when they want to get drunk, they buy one of these guys.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, it's 24 ounces, it's 8%.
Yes, and Steel Reserve.
How much do you pay for it?
I don't remember. It's pretty cheap. But, so this is like what we used to think of as a malt liquor. Now, I would never have given it a second thought, except I watched this YouTube video about a wine expert drinking cheap beer and a beer expert drinking cheap wine.
Okay.
And they went through this thing where they both tried a bunch of various stuff and commented about how horrible it was. And the wine expert, after she drank Steel Reserve, said, you know, this one's not bad. And that made me curious. So I went up to the 7-Eleven and bought myself one and tried it. And I said, you know, yes, this is not bad. So I want to get your sense of it. What do you think?
Nothing in the aroma.
Hardly any decent aroma whatsoever.
It's got a kind of a thick, boozy, high alcohol flavor to it, but no bad flavors.
No bad flavors.
It's perfectly fine.
It's got a little bit of maltiness to it.
No, I mean definitely, it's fine.
A little bit of residual sweetness.
And if you just want to get there,
yeah,
you're just like,
I want to get drunk quickly, then this is the thing to drink.
Right. I'm not a booze guy, I'm a beer guy, but I don't have a lot of money or want to spend a lot of time urinating.
Yeah.
I just want to get my 8% in, and I don't want all those crazy hops and high end, because this thing here at an 8%, 24 ouncer, you know, might cost you what?
I don't know, $2.50 or something.
No, I mean, if it was a craft beer,
oh,
or something
grief.
Like
yeah, it's
that,
gonna
right?
Cost you a whole lot of
maybe
money.
$7 or something right. Like that. And here, yeah, right here you go, $2.50. Just going to get busy.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that I love this or anything. I'm just saying that among the cheap, crazy beers at 7-Eleven, this one actually isn't so bad.
So I stop at my at the gas station near my work. Sometimes stop in and get, you know, a little, like, usually it's nuts or something like that, yogurt or whatever. Pretty often, somewhere between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., depending on what time I go in, somebody's getting some tall boys.
I know.
Somebody's getting some 24 ounces.
In the morning.
And I'm going, you're not getting that so that it's ready for you when you get off work today.
No, they're going to drink it right away. Yeah, it's pretty sad. It's
wow.
Pretty sad.
And it looks like guys who probably are getting ready to go to work. But yeah. This is, you know, you feel
did
the
you
need to
that,
get the morning did, started this
did,
way?
Yeah, did you see that movie, just recently came out, this movie about this guy who was a college or a high school basketball coach, The Way Back, it's called?
No.
Having a hard time remembering the name of the actor, but he's a well-known actor.
But Way Back is the name?
The Way Back is the name of the movie, and he is a raging alcoholic, and, you know, drinks beer before work, during work, after work, at night. He's crazy. And when you see those guys, when you go into 7-Eleven in the morning and get your coffee and you see some guy buying a couple of tall boys, it's a sad thing.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, they look like day workers who are probably actually going to go to work, but right. You feel the need to get your day started that way. That's rough.
That's pretty rough.
I do love my beer, but
I know, but not like that.
I can separate them between the. So the old what do they call it? What's the name for it? Not Old Glory. What's the Rebel flag called? Is there a
name for it? It's the Confederate battle flag.
Yeah. But does it have?
I don't know if there's another.
They've
name,
got a. So it's in the news for a couple of reasons.
Mississippi finally took it off their flag.
In the process, and they're trying to put in "God We Trust" on the flag. Why create more aggravation for yourselves, guys?
Just take it
although,
off.
Although, if you just took it off, isn't that the French flag? If you just got so they have to do something.
They have to do something to replace that.
But you don't need any words. Nobody has words on their flag.
Well, no. Oh, some states do actually have words. Delaware does.
No. What's the Virginia one? A death to tyrants.
That's right. Yeah. Thus always to tyrants.
So Maryland is. I don't know why, but in the last 10 years, the flag colors are splattered on anything you want to buy.
I know.
It's the only state that is so in love with its flag.
Well, you got a cool flag.
But I'm thinking to myself, if I was from Virginia, wouldn't you wear that Death to Tyrants guy
I wouldn't wear their stupid flag, but I would wear the Death to Tyrants thing, yes.
No, but the guy standing over top of the other dead guy with his foot over his neck and a sword in his hand, I'm like... That's super cool. Why aren't you guys in love with your flag the way that we are?
Yeah.
So, getting rid of this dumb flag. And also, NASCAR says no Confederate flags.
Which, you know, I'm okay with.
But, so the first thing my first thought was, it's only going to take one lawsuit to the First Amendment and this is going to be over. Then I was like, wait a minute, it is a private event.
Yeah.
Right, so inside that maybe you can't ban it in people driving down the road outside, but if you're on the grounds, so if you're at the Redskins Stadium, can't say Redskins, Redskins Stadium, but they could say what kind of signs you can and cannot put up.
That's right,
because
that's
a private thing.
In a private thing. So let's take the General Lee from good old Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Yeah.
So that car driving down the street with a Confederate flag on the roof, a cop couldn't pull them over and say, you can't do this, because that's freedom of speech. They can put the roof, put it on the roof of the car. But if a TV station decides we're not going to show that anymore, which I would not agree with, by the way, but if a TV station decided to do that, that's entirely their business.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, I can see how it's going to ruffle some feathers because it's, the NASCAR was born in the South. It's largely, races run in the South. So the next thing is, aren't they just expressing their Southern pride?
Well, so that's the difficult thing about it.
It is difficult.
And the thing, it's very difficult to kind of parse through these things because on the one hand,
let's parse.
A lot of people, when they look at the Confederate flag, they legitimately see it as a sign of oppression and supporting racism. And I'd say this honestly, they legitimately see it that way because in some situations, people are flying the Confederate flag specifically for the purpose of making blacks feel uncomfortable. And that's not a good thing. So, When some people are using the Confederate flag to say, yeah, we're just really not on board with all this civil rights stuff.
Wouldn't it be great if it was back?
And so some people are definitely using the Confederate flag as a symbol for racism and oppression. And that's wrong, and we don't want that. Right. However,
let's set that aside.
Yeah.
And talk about the vast majority of people who see it as a regional flag.
Right.
And I said to you, what if all of the states of New England had their own flag? You said, well, it's kind of like what?
Like the New England Patriots.
Basically, right. So you're like, okay, yeah, I'm from New Hampshire, But I've lived all over, and I'm a New England guy, and we have our own flag that represents a region.
Yeah.
And so I think for the most part, probably the vast majority, that's what the Confederate flag means to the South.
Right.
Like, I've lived in, I'm in Alabama, I was born in Georgia, my dad's from Florida, and I'm a Southern guy, and this is my region of the country, and this is a regional flag.
Right, and just for the dumb people who are listening to this podcast, we want to make it very, very clear, we do not in any way support racism or slavery or any of that kind of stuff. That's all terrible stuff, and we agree with that. However, the question at hand is, when someone is flying a Confederate flag or displaying a Confederate flag or whatever it is, do they necessarily mean what other people think that they mean by it? That's really the question.
And the question is, in terms of, so I agree, this flag does not belong on public grounds.
Well, okay.
On state grounds.
Generally speaking.
In the Mississippi flag, yes, I think that this is a good idea.
Yes, it should be taken out of the Mississippi flag. We were recently at the Antietam battlefield.
Yeah.
And it would be reasonable to fly the Confederate flag at certain places in the Antietam battlefield.
Okay, that's a
great
point.
Because that's where the Confederates were, right?
Yeah, and you're right. You're identifying.
You're saying these are the Confederate lines, right? So that would be a perfectly legitimate place to display Confederate monuments, Confederate symbols, because we're saying that's where the Confederates were.
Yeah, I guess I guess by public, I meant at the state capital.
Of course not. Yes, of course not. And this was the thing. This was the thing that really turned me on this topic quite a while ago. When there was first a lot of this discussion about tearing down Confederate monuments and all that kind of stuff, I, for some reason, had the idea these were monuments that were put up shortly after the Civil War, and they'd been there for a long time, and then now people were trying to tear them down because they said they were racist, and I was like, I don't so much so sure, until I learned that a lot of these monuments were put up relatively recently during the Civil Rights
era. Really?
Yes. A lot of these monuments were put up.
Well, that is a kind of a poke in the eye.
It is. It's like they were put up as a middle finger to the civil rights movement, saying, yeah, you're trying to do the civil rights stuff. We're going to put this flag. So in that case, come on, that's just plain straightforwardly racist and it's got to stop.
That really changed
my attitude towards a lot of these Confederate symbols and statues and things. It wasn't that they're just trying to honor honorable people or whatever. It's that they were actually, it was actually a finger in the eye. It was actually that's wrong.
That's messed up.
Right.
Yeah, so, but we get into the area, so let's go back. Let's give, hypothetically, people the credit.
Yeah.
Let's just say that this group of people,
mm-hmm.
They're just going, you know,
this is my heritage.
This is our thing.
We like living in
the South, and mm-hmm. this is our South thing. And then I'm saying, but you have to recognize that other people don't see it that way.
So let's turn this question around for just a moment and say, let's say that you were proud of being a Southerner, that you liked Southern culture, you liked being in the South. Now, how would you express that? What could you fly? What could you display?
Right.
What could you show to say, I'm a proud Southerner?
Yeah.
Now let's say you're not a racist, you don't believe in slavery, but you just want to say, I like the South.
Yeah.
What is it? And I think what's been going on for a long time is what that thing is that people would display to say that I'm a proud Southerner is the Confederate flag.
Right.
And they didn't, some of them were racists and that's terrible. But I think a lot of people were simply trying to say, I'm a proud Southerner. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not a racist. I'm a proud Southerner. And what else am I going to show to say that?
All right, so let's move this along a little bit if you're saying that's an inappropriate flag
mm-hmm.
because it makes people uncomfortable.
Yes.
So if you're saying, this represents slavery, so we're getting rid of it. And everybody's like, well, as I said, we get on board with that. They're like, well, what's the guiding principle here? It makes people uncomfortable, even though you didn't mean to make it uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the real problem.
And we're getting it. So now let's see, where does this guiding principle take you? That anybody, regardless of my intentions, all anybody has to do is say, that makes me uncomfortable, and now I have to stop doing what I'm doing because you, right?
There is, of course, a Star Trek lesson.
Oh, Lord, of course.
So there is a Star Trek, the original series episode, where a professor from Starfleet Academy goes off to this planet that's in incredible economic doldrums. They're having such incredible economic problems. And what he does is he basically reinstitutes Nazism on this planet without any of the it's kind of hard to think about this, but there was an element to Nazism that wasn't about killing Jews and there was an element that was national pride and hard work and all those kind of stuff.
Embracing German folk life.
Yes, all that kind of stuff. So he tried. He said, look at what happened to Germany after the First World War.
Is this original Star Trek?
Original Star Trek, yeah. Kirk and Spock and all those guys. So he said, look at what happened after the First World War. This country beaten up, in bad shape, economy's terrible, and in a couple of decades, they rose to the point where they were a superpower, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
yeah, amazing.
So,
one generation.
Yeah, so he was saying, I want to take the good elements of that and leave the bad elements aside. Now, the lesson of the show was, well, the bad elements got in there anyway.
Ah.
Okay, so that was, but the idea was that this guy was using, he actually used the Nazi flag not to mean that I want to oppress anybody, or that he was using it for only a certain part of the Nazi message. So I guess what I would say is that's very analogous to what's going on with the Confederate flags. That when some people see the Confederate flag, what they see is racism and slavery and treason and all those things, and that's fine. I agree with that.
Mm.
And when some people see the Nazi flag, what they see is hatred and killing Jews and genocide and everything else. Yeah. And I agree with that.
Right.
However, that does not necessarily mean that everybody who does that, that's what they mean.
Yes. And so what we're digging into here is, at what point can you hold somebody else responsible for how you see their intentions?
Exactly.
And so can I look at the mayor of Oakland
for
my 1 minute here?
Yeah.
And she, I believe this is a she. They find some exercise rings, you know, like they do the iron, you know, sometimes when you see me doing the Iron Cross.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing that all the time when I come by,
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So those rings were, because the kids weren't allowed to go to the darn park anymore, somebody put those in the tree so the kids would have something to do.
Okay.
So the mayor says that somebody
what they look like.
reported these things as nooses.
Right.
So the mayor, so after it was investigated, it was obviously exercise rings, and kids were having
and
a
not
great
nooses.
Time.
Right.
Kids of all races were having a fun time swinging on the not nooses. She says, intentions do not matter. We will not tolerate symbols of hate in our city. The nooses found at Lake Merritt will be investigated as hate crimes. What are we talking about here?
So this is in a way this is almost a kind of sacramentalism. It's like intentions don't matter.
Intentions don't matter.
The thing in itself has a meaning.
Yeah.
Totally independent of what you mean.
There's no
by
such
it.
Thing.
It's crazy. It is crazy. Now, okay, how about this?
So I guess getting back to the guiding principle, if somebody somewhere is offended by an exercise ring.
Yeah.
You can't just explain to them, look, that's not really what it means. You know, just get over it. No. You have to respond to their being offended and take down exercise rings and maybe take this event out of the Olympics.
So I heard this conservative Presbyterian pastor make this analogy one time. He said, is bowing to an idol inherently wrong? Okay.
All right.
And everybody was like, yeah, it's inherently wrong. And he said, well, wait a minute. That's because you assume that bowing is a sign of subservience and respect and worship.
Okay.
What if someone's in a culture where bowing is a sign of hatred, disgust, and loathing?
Spit on the ground as they bend over.
Exactly. Right? So this idea that something has a meaning inherent and of itself.
That's good point.
Irrespective of your intentions, that's kind of a dumb... Now, there are... I don't want to go too far with this, because there are certain things that are, like, almost inherent in our biology, you know, like, about smiles and different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Certain things, to some extent, do almost have an inherent meaning. I'll grant that, in terms of our biology and just who we are as human beings. However, a lot of these symbolic things don't have an inherent meaning. They have the meaning that the culture attaches to them.
Yes. So, sticking with flags,
yeah.
Let's say the pacifist next door...
Mm-hmm.
Is living next to a guy who is a third-generation Marine.
Okay.
And flies the Marine flag in front of his house.
Right.
And he comes over and says, you know, as a pacifist, you know, I hate war, and when I look at that flag, it just makes me think of war and violence, so I'm going to have to ask you to take that down. Isn't the guy free to say, I get that, but that's not my intention, that's not... how I relate to this flag, and this very personal and part of my family tradition, I'm going to leave it up. Right?
Right.
Yeah, he gets to do that.
He does.
Pacifist guy doesn't get to say, you have to remove your flag.
Or let's flip it. Let's say that the pacifist guy is wearing a Che Guevara shirt.
Yeah.
And the Marine guy is like, do you know anything about that guy?
And they go, he's a revolutionary like me.
He's a nice guy. I like him. He's kind of cute and has long hair. You know, yeah. The Marine is saying, no, he really was not a nice guy, look it up. So, why?
Right, but he doesn't say, and you have to remove that shirt, or I will remove it for you.
Yes, you have to remove it because I say so, because this is the meaning I assign to it. I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. And it's the same thing both ways. The pacifist can't tell the Marine to take down his flag, and the Marine can't tell the pacifist to take off his Che Guevara shirt.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with this thing called the First Amendment, but it's something that a lot of people used to cherish,
yeah.
And it's kind of going by the wayside here, and I give you, how about this? I when I got my Mr. Beer hat that came free with my Mr. Beer kit when mm-hmm. I first learned how to brew, and it's totally red with white lettering across the front.
Which looks like...
And I was about to put it on. You said, is that your MAGA hat? And I put it on, and you saw it said Mr. Beer, and I thought, what if I wore this to a Trump-hostile environment?
Yeah, and somebody beat you up for wearing a Mr. Beer hat.
Yeah, yeah. And they would say, and I'd be like, obviously it's a Mr. Beer hat, and they're like, yeah, but it reminds me of...
But okay,
right? So his argument is, yeah, but I got triggered by that hat. I know you didn't mean it, but you have to take that hat off because it makes me think of something that upsets me.
Or even let's take it to the guy who's wearing an actual MAGA hat. I mean, nowadays, you wear a MAGA hat in public, you might get in a fight.
Yeah, no, that's it. But I mean, just like the difference between, yeah, but you obviously are a Trump supporter. I am a Trump supporter. But my Beerster Beer hat doesn't indicate to anybody that I'm just a guy who likes the quickest and easiest way to make 2 gallons of beer.
Right. So in terms of the First Amendment, I saw a great quote from Ben Shapiro recently. And he said, it's not enough to have constitutional protections for free speech. We need to have a culture where people agree with the idea that other people have a right to say things that make us uncomfortable.
Yes.
And without that, the Constitution, fine, the Constitution can say whatever it wants. That doesn't prevent a company from firing somebody for a stupid reason. That doesn't prevent all the other injustices that we see going on regularly with all this woke scold nonsense. And that the First Amendment needs to be more than just a government protection. It needs to be a cultural protection that says, you can say something that makes me uncomfortable, and that's okay.
Yeah, well, I saw something. I don't know if it was actually if it was a poll or just a sort of random interviewing of young people on college campuses who were totally okay with the suspension of the free speech.
I know.
If it makes other people uncomfortable.
It's crazy.
And it's awful. It is frightening. Because once number one goes, everything else can go.
It is frightening. I was speaking with a friend today who had read a book about the systematic effort by the left to undermine what children are being taught in school and undermine the concept of right and wrong and respect for the country and all this other kind of stuff. Like, why Johnny can't think or what? I forget the name of the book. And we were talking about it, and he said, okay, now I understand why you homeschooled your children, you know, because this is the agenda that's been going on in the schools for a long, long time. Yeah. And it really has, and now we're seeing, you know, we sowed the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. And that's what we're seeing in the culture right now. We've been teaching people garbage for decades.
Yeah.
And now we've got garbage in people's minds.
Yes. I will have to say that I am fortunate that I feel that my high school senior has not been poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
But I have two young grandkids that I worry about.
I know.
Hold on. Let's talk about what if somebody comes up to me after I have finally gotten around to painting my white picket fence, which is what the most iconic suburban post 1950s emblem, and they said to me, it looks like a row of little Klansmen. And so I would like you to take your fence down because it's very upsetting to me.
Yeah.
You just have to say,
maybe you need some therapy.
I'm sorry about that. So if your criteria becomes anything that offends somebody else, well, then why can't you ban a Trump 2020 flag?
Why can't you ban anything? Because everything that you see every day offends somebody in some
way. So what I say, we will not tolerate symbols of hate. Who decides this?
Yeah, who decides which of the symbols of hate?
So you're totally not getting this First Amendment thing. So Nazi flags, you can fly a Nazi flag in your yard, right?
You can.
I mean,
legally you can.
Yes, and it should be. Do you remember? So this was 1978, the ACLU fought on behalf of the American Nazi Party to have a parade in Skokie, Illinois.
That was back when the ACLU actually believed in defending the...
You think that the ACLU would do that again? And no. I remember when I was a young, raging liberal, I would parade that decision.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fantastic decision. I was like, I thought this shows you how liberal I am. That I think that the ACLU should defend their right. Because to me, liberalism used to mean you were so concerned about the protection of the individual rights to say and do what you want that that's what being a liberal was. Do you think liberals think that now? Do you think the ACLU, do you think the average liberal on the street would go, yes, of course Nazis should be allowed to have parades?
No.
And I can tell you, I was a raging lib.
The whole woke, scold,
cancel
culture stuff has totally turned that stuff on its head. Now when it comes to flying the Nazi flag, as a matter of the First Amendment, yes, someone has a right to do that. But I think it's completely legitimate in that case for the peer pressure and culture to say, look, we're not okay with this.
Yes, cut that crap out. Of course. Yeah. That's how we do it. We don't do it through legal means.
But that's the problem.
Now we get into shaming.
That's kind of the problem, is where to draw the line. Because we would agree that as a matter of the First Amendment, people have a right to fly the Nazi flag, but we don't want them doing that, and we want other people to exert pressure on them to stop. But that's exactly what the woke...
That's exactly what
the woke, scold, cancel culture people are doing.
Yeah.
They're saying, okay, legally you have a right to do this.
But it doesn't mean we can't ruin your life.
Well, we can't... It doesn't mean we can't ruin your life, make you lose your job, all those other kind of things, lose your livelihood, make everybody hate you, because we think that you're doing the wrong thing. And obviously, this is not a... There's no clear dividing line. It's very hard to draw a line and say, where do we say this is okay and this is
right, because, like I said, like we started this thing is with a guiding principle. Mm-hmm. It has to be. It can't. You just can't pick and choose. This is a good flag. No Santa Claus flags. No, right? It's like, all right, either. So, if you have an HOA
mm-hmm.
that says, so that's.
No symbols of hate. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, is it private? I mean, is it?
It is private, yeah. So the HOA can make any kind of rules. So
they could pick and choose, like, okay, you can do holiday flags, but you can't do American flags. You can do state flags. You can do.
I think they can do that.
They can just pick and choose like that.
I think so, yeah.
Well, because you've all sort of willingly.
You willingly bought into that neighborhood and into that covenant.
Well, so, that, yeah.
So, but I mean, that's, once again, you have the same problem of what if the HOA says we're going to allow Che Guevara images, but we're not going to allow Marine flags, you know? So
yeah,
you have that same, and what it really comes down to is just the loss of respect for the idea of other people having different opinions and different understandings of what things mean. And we don't, like, for example, the Marine, flying the Marine flag, is not trying to justify, you know, the Trail of Tears, or, you know, something,
yeah.
Right, you know? He just believes that Marines are necessary to the safety of the country, and this is a noble thing, and he's asserting that, right? And that's good. And we're almost to the point where we're not willing to try to see what the other person means by something. We're not trying to understand what good they see in something.
Yeah.
We're only trying to say, no, this is bad in this way, because I say so.
Yes, that's awful. So when we were in Western Maryland, we were at the Antietam battlefield.
Right.
Right, so this is where the good guys in the North, finally, after getting their asses kicked for 2 years, had a win.
Yeah. Horrible battle.
Yes, the greatest number of casualties in a single day, 26,000, 22,000 casualties in one day. Can you imagine that?
I know.
But they won the 3-day battle, and in my mind, I was already thinking about this topic, going, look, let's just assume that this flag means Southern pride.
Right.
All right, I give you that.
Yeah.
What was the deal with a half dozen Confederate flags flying in totally pro-Northwestern Maryland?
I don't get it. Because, obviously Maryland was in the South. It's south of the Mason-Dixon line. But Maryland was never part of the Confederacy.
Right.
And Western Maryland was pro-North. Baltimore was pro-South, but Western Maryland was
pro-North.
Yeah,
and I'm sure Southern Maryland, where they had tobacco plantations and stuff like that, but certainly not the mountainous part where we were.
No.
What's up with that?
So why would someone today, in 2020, fly a Confederate flag in Western Maryland? They're not expressing a love of Southern culture.
Yes.
You know, what exactly is it that they're trying to do?
So speaking of Southern culture, and
right.
we talked to No Man,
yeah,
and he seemed to think that the flag, or that Southern pride itself, was embracing slavery and rape culture.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't quite separate what somebody else would enjoy about the South, because thinking that they're just ignorant and blind to the fact that really this is what Southern culture
right.
is.
Right. So I did a brief web search today, trying to find out what is it that people, when people assert their love of Southern culture, what do they mean? Okay.
Yeah.
So here are some things. Okay. Politeness.
So that's a Southern Living magazine.
Southern Living, yeah. Politeness, good home cooking, kindness, helpfulness, charm, charity. Okay.
Nice.
That was from Southern Good Magazine. And then other things I saw, this was from Wikipedia. The central role of agriculture.
Yeah.
The connection to the land. Strong attachment to churches. Distinctive food. Distinctive literature and music. And then this one I wasn't quite so positive about. Attachment to college. So right. College and high school football.
Yeah. But, you know, right. Remember Friday Night Lights?
I know.
And all of that. Like, apparently,
that's a Southern thing.
If you're in a small town,
I know that's all you got.
High school football is a big
that's
darn
the big
deal.
Thing.
But
right.
If you look at, especially the first five, basically those are the themes of country music.
Yes, they are.
Right? And so you can, there are a lot of things that you can embrace about Southern culture that don't involve rape culture and the enslavement of other people.
Or lynching people. Or any of the other yeah. evil things that we hate. So it is possible to say...
Be proud of the South.
To be proud of Southern culture, a certain aspect of Southern culture, right? And if somebody... you know what has to happen? Somebody needs to come up with a new flag or a new symbol or a new
I was thinking the same thing.
That says, like, what, that says this is what we mean by Southern culture.
Yes.
It has that has nothing to do with the Civil War, has nothing to do with slavery, has nothing to do with all the awful things that happened. Let's
But I get it. So regionally, it has its own flavor in a way that, well, except for New England,
yeah.
Which, yeah, I guess it is the Patriots flag.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, so I get the idea that they don't identify with just their state.
Yeah.
It is the whole region.
It is the South. And there is something about the cultures of the South that they like and they love. And I get that. And it's not necessarily a racist thing. It's not a pro-rape thing. It's not a pro-slavery thing. So let's come up with a new symbol. Let's come up with some other thing. That people can say,
but those things,
the South.
You know, they tend to come, you know, or sort of develop organically
yes, well,
over
problem.
Time, and
that's
so
the
just
problem,
like
yeah.
to invent a new
I know. It's
holiday.
Kind of, it's kind of like those stupid languages that they just invent and expect
yeah,
everybody to.
Oh yeah, we're gonna. Do,
everybody's gonna start saying
Esperanto.
Esperanto. Because languages develop organically.
Or Kwanzaa.
Yeah, right.
Some professor somewhere is going to invent a holiday. That's not how holidays
no.
are invented.
And that's not the way symbols flag. How it works. So unfortunately, we're in this situation where when people are looking at the good things about the South, the only symbol that they have of that is the Confederate flag, which other people associate with slavery and rape culture and lynchings and everything else.
Can I come up with a conclusion?
Go
here?
For a conclusion. Yeah.
If you're flying the flag, if you're in Western Maryland or wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
and you're flying a flag with the clear intention of saying that I like its pro-slavery message,
yeah.
Then you are an idiot and a monster, and hopefully, you know, you'll die soon of natural causes or
yes.
maybe a bus. If you mean no harm, then can you move your flag to the garage or your pool room or your backyard? Feel free to have a flag, but understand, I'm just going to have to make an exception here and sort of contradict our whole argument about the principle of the matter and just say, you know, for your black neighbors.
For your neighbor's sake, yeah.
Just do this. If not, you may be the people that inspire others to attempt to legally ban it.
Yeah.
And when that comes, we're at the beginning of the end of the First Amendment.
Yes.
And I am willing to fight on behalf of the First Amendment, but don't make me die on the hill of the Confederate flag
yeah.
to get you to keep your flag. Can you just cool it and let I'm telling you, we're already going down the road of losing the First Amendment anyway.
Yes.
And you are not helping.
No.
You are actually the worst example, and I understand you don't mean any bad intentions.
Some of them, we hope. We hope
but
that they don't
be
mean
be aware yeah. of others and do not get, so I say we need to be respectful of others' feelings, without getting bullied by the woke child mob.
Yes, yes.
How do you feel about that?
I agree with that. And, you know, if you're doing something, just as a basic rule of civilized behavior.
Like just being a considerate neighbor?
Yes.
Kind
if you're,
of thing.
If you're doing something that's making other people
it's like, I've
feel,
got the right, it's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Okay, great. But you have neighbors and you have friends and just
and other
cool
people,
it.
Yeah, exactly. If I, let's say I have a, I feel that I have a right
yeah,
to,
great.
To do whatever it is. Let's say I hunt. And I feel like I have a right to skin and butcher the deer in my backyard. And my neighbors are just horrified by that. Well, can't I do it somewhere else, you know?
But a bunch of Yeah, well, you know what I think is funny? If I hang up a bunch of rubber sex dolls in my backyard.
You have a right, you have a right to do that. But no, don't do that.
So then you're, then you know what's going to happen? Then all the neighbors are going to get together, form a HOA, and they're going to all be little dictators telling everybody else what to do. So just be nice and behave.
Right. Yes. Learn to be decent people.
All right.
All right. So.
All right. Well, the Steel Reserve is not getting better as it warms up, but
it's still not pretty good.
Bad.
Yeah. All right. So we still have to do our man of the week.
Oh, shoot. Why not?
So, you know, recently we had the Chop Chaz, whoever they were, and a mob of anarchists instituted a hostile takeover and took over this area in Seattle for weeks, right? Police.
And the police back off, the mayor backs off, the city council says, well, it's more like a festival.
Right, it's more like the Summer of Love. So so this man...
Just an individual dude.
Just some dude went in and said, I'm sick of this...
Black dude, by the way.
Okay. He went in and said, I'm sick of this word we don't say on this show, and tore it down.
Personally, went in and started ripping down the barricades and throwing. Was confronted by a man with a knife.
Uh-huh.
And you don't bring a knife
to a gunfight.
And he pulled out a gun.
And I say good for him.
And he put the knife down, and he continued tearing this place up, turning over all of the tables, and wait for it, somebody screamed, you're destroying public, a private property! Yelled at him for destroying private.
These people don't understand. They don't understand what they're
doing. But nameless man with a gun.
Who tore down the Chop stuff? You are the man of the week.
You are the man of the
week. Well done, dude.